good to be here. Just good to be with the saints of God and worship our Savior for what He has done for us and what He's doing for us. You know, today is a day when many, many are gathering in buildings just like this one, some of them even nicer. And they're gathering together for what they call Resurrection Day. A day where they come together once a year and celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And I've mentioned this before, and it bears repeating. God's people, those who are sinners, and we know we're sinners, we stand on the Word of God that says our Savior is risen and sitting on His throne right now, working everything out according to His own counsel for our good and for His glory. Period. And we do that, we celebrate that every single day. That's our only peace, folks. You know what the gospel is? The gospel is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What does that mean? That means that God became flesh so that He could die for His people. That's what the crucifixion is. And rise again as the conqueror, as the captain, as the victor over sin and death. And that's who our Lord Jesus is, the victor over sin and death. That's just a bonus for this morning. Turn, if you would, to the 10th chapter of Hebrews. We've been looking at this book for some time now. We're in the, actually in the chapter 9. But I've got to thinking about this subject, and my title for today is Sufficient Sacrifice. You know, as I mentioned a moment ago, there's people all over the world celebrating today, aren't they? Celebrating. You know, I saw a note from one of my cousins that showed a picture of the parking lot just packed. I didn't realize she went to such a big church. It was just packed. And her question was, will you fight the traffic today? Will you be one of those who fight the traffic today? Folks, there's folks all over the world playing part of Christian today. There's folks all over the world playing the part of Christian just like some of you did at one time. Every day. They're a good brother. Actually, a good sister as well. I've had two say to me, Happy Resurrection Day. Folks, if you don't understand that Resurrection Day is every day for a child of God, may God lay that upon your heart today. You see, it brings that question up. Was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ sufficient? Was the blood of God that was shed 2,000 years ago on that cross, was it sufficient? Is God sufficient? People don't believe that, folks. Some of us didn't believe that at one time. Some of us believed that if we made a decision for God, that He had done everything else that was needed. He supplied the blood, He supplied the body, He supplied the cross, He rules over everything, but He doesn't rule over me. I made a decision. That's what most believing Christians think. I made a decision. I chose a day when I would follow God. God's people know that's exactly the opposite, don't we? You can only know this by the revelation of Jesus Christ Himself, and that is, we weren't seeking God at all until He sought after us. And when God goes looking for something, do you think He finds it?
Yeah.
Several people kind of giggled at that one. That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. When the Lord God goes looking for something, He finds what He's looking for. Was the sacrifice of Christ sufficient to save? You know, my words don't mean nothing. Words that come out of this mind don't mean anything. But God's Word does. So I want to spend a little time today in God's Word trying to answer this question. Was the sacrifice of Christ sufficient for what it was designed for? Here in Hebrews chapter 10, let's begin at verse 12. But this man. Now you could say that this way. But God. Because that's who this is talking about. But. You know, here's some points. We made some points over here in verses 9 through, or verse 6 through 10 or 11. But God. But this man, after he had offered, how many sacrifices did that say? Come on, everybody. Tell me. One. Why was there only one? You know, in the Old Testament days, the sacrifices, were they not done every year, every day, every Sunday? Was there not blood shed in the tabernacle every single day? Absolutely it was. Well, why did this woman only have to do it once? Because he's the one that all those other sacrifices were a picture of. Was his sacrifice sufficient?
Yes.
Absolutely it was. It only took one. One. Why? Because he's God in the flesh. And God does everything perfect. You and I, well, all right, maybe not you guys. You folks probably do things a lot better. It doesn't take long for me to screw something up. People said, John, why don't you just change that toilet? It's so easy. You can do it. And I told Pastor Gene when he told me to go change that toilet, I said, I'm going to break something. He laughed. He goes, you can't break anything. It's the easiest thing in the world. I broke something. If he could hear this message, he'll laugh so hard because he's never asked me to do anything ever again after that. You want me to do something? I'm going to miss it. My God does not. The God of all creation doesn't mess up anything. He does it once, and that's all that needs to be done. Am I right? What happened? After he sacrificed for sins forever, what did he do? He sat down on the right hand of God. That means he had to be risen up. You talk about a risen Savior. We talked about this during Bible study. We talked about this during last week's message. He was risen. He did it once and it was accomplished what he had set out for it to do. So he sat down. It is finished, is what he said. He sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever. Whew. Folks, somebody perfected. You guys can look around the room and say, Roger, are you one of the perfected? It don't look like it from here, buddy. And my glasses are working just fine. I bet you can say the same thing about me. You can say we were joking around about getting new glasses Friday night. How would make us? Would that make me look better? No, it won't. Somebody, folks, is perfect. Somebody is. How? How could they be perfected? How could I, this sinner, who gets up every morning and sees his sin before him in that mirror, be perfected? let's read on. Perfected forever them that are sanctified. That means set apart. Set apart from what? Set apart from the world. Those who were chosen in Christ before the world began. Those whose names were written on the breastplates of God Almighty before a star ever twinkled in the sky. If you belong to God, you were loved with an eternal, everlasting love. And if God loves you, you know, this is what makes me so angry about those who stand in the corners, street corners, and tells everybody, God loves you. Now, won't you just start following Him? God loves you. Well, how do I know God loves me? How do you know God loves me? You don't. Even you folks right here today don't know if God loves me. I don't know if God loves you. But He loves somebody. He loves somebody. And whoever that is, He says, they've been perfected for by one offering. Who? What offering was it? It was that offering that He said back in verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God. He is that one offering. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore, verse 13, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that He had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put My laws in their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them, and their sin and iniquity will I remember no more. Now where remission of sins is, verse 18, there is no more offering for sins. Folks, is the sacrifice of Christ, was it sufficient?
Yes.
Well, that means if it was, then there was no other need for any other sacrifice. That means there's no need for you to do anything. That means that God has done it all. No other sacrifices needed. Him was sufficient. Verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness, because of the sufficiency of His sacrifice, because there's no other offering needed for sin, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember what we talked about in Bible study, for those of you who weren't here and didn't know. The holiest of holies was that inner sanctuary of the temple, of the tabernacle. What was the tabernacle? It was a cloth, it was a skin-coated building that they could wrap up and carry to the next camp with them. And there were two parts. There was the part of the service where all the people would come in with the high priest, and they would bring in their offerings to the high priest, and the high priest would slaughter the animals and take blood, the blood of bulls and goats and doves. And then they would take that blood and they would go in one time every year to the holiest of holies behind this really thick veil. A veil that went across between the two parts of the building. No one else could go past this. They would go in, one priest every year, and sprinkle that blood on what? On the mercy seat. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's a picture. Nothing more than a picture of what our Savior did and does right now. Did you know the Lord Jesus is sitting there on His throne of grace making intercession for you if you belong to Him? If you commit a sin, doesn't matter what it is, doesn't matter whether it's a white lie, doesn't matter if it's a false thought, a negative thought, or a bad thought, or unbelief. Oh, I don't believe God would do that. He says it in His Word, He's done it. Period. No argument. Won't even discuss it with you. If it's in His Word, as far as God's people are concerned, it's done. It is what He says it is. If you belong to Christ, whatever your sins may be, He's saying, I have paid for that. My blood, he said, is sufficient for the justice that it requires. What's the justice of God's? What is God's justice? It's death. It's death. That's what our Savior did. He died. Do you get that? He died for you. That you might live in Him. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. Let's read on. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. The old way was death. The old way was the death of animals, but this is a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Look at verse 12 one more time with me before we leave this here. Hebrews chapter 10. What does it say? But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, he did what? He forever sat down on the right hand of God. Why? Because that's proof. That's proof that God accepted His Son's sacrifice. Is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ sufficient? Yeah, darn tootin' it is. Look over at chapter 1 of Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. I get it right here. Chapter 1. Look at verse 3. Who being the brightness of His glory. Whose glory? God the Father. Who is the brightness of God the Father's glory? It's His Son, the Lord Jesus. This is my Son, He says, in whom I am well pleased. Who is it that satisfies everything that God the Father requires? His Son. Not you. Not me, but God, the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ. That's who satisfies everything that the Father requires. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. You know, the Lord said to some folks, He said, now that you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You're familiar with the words in John where He says, I and my Father are one. The express image of His person and upholding all things. Being the express person. Being the brightness of God's glory. Being the expression image of His person. He has all power. So it's no wonder that He's upholding all things by the word of His power. But when you take all of that into consideration, talking about the sacrifice that He had made for you and I, when He had by Himself what? Purged, washed, cleansed, wiped out. Put every sin that you and I will ever commit. Not just the ones we've done already, but every one that we will till the day He takes us out of this world. Purged it, put it behind His back, never to be seen anymore. What did He do? He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. There's two verses right there that tell us clear as a bell. God has accepted the sacrifice of His Son. He won't accept anybody else's. He's not going to accept the sacrifice of His Son plus something you have to do. In fact, if you try to add something into His sacrifice, all you're going to do is pollute it. A little teeny bit of leaven pollutes the whole loaf. And that's what your works is. It's leaven. It's that chemical occurrence when you mix yeast. It's that chemical reaction. When you mix those two articles together, it makes it grow. It makes it pop up. What a picture of pride. You mix in yeast into God's perfect flour, and it puffs up with your pride. Folks, God will not share His glory with another. And that includes with John Reeves. Resurrection Day. Every day is a resurrection day to a saved sinner. His resurrection is proof that the sacrifice He gave was accepted, that the sacrifice of laying down His life for me was accepted. It's the proof that when my Lord says, "You shall be with me in paradise today," He can say it and mean it, and it will be. It's the proof that what He did on that cross 2,000 years ago was effectual. The blood of bulls and goats, they never accomplished anything in saving God's people. They were nothing more than types, pictures of the one sacrifice God would accept, and that's the sacrifice of His Son, the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world, the spotless Lamb of God. When Abraham's son asked, "Father, where is the offering?" You'll recall the story. God told Abraham to take his son up on a mountain and sacrifice his son. He didn't question that. Did you all catch that? He didn't question it. He said, "Okay, we're going. We're going to go up." In fact, he didn't question it so much. He told the guys that he was with, "We're going to go up and we're going to worship and then we'll come back to you." Do you catch the idea that you don't question God? Why? Because God has given you the gift to believe. I used to question God all the time. I call it things like luck, Mother Nature, those kinds of things. Now it's Lord willing. Why? Why is that the way it is now for me? Because of God. But God. He gets all the glory for everything, folks. All the glory. So when Abraham took his son up there, all they had was some fire and some wood. And he said, "Dad, where's the offering? When we come all the way up here to have a sacrifice, where's the offering?" And what did Abraham say to his son? He said this. He said, "God's going to provide Himself." And that's exactly what he did. People think, well, that was talking about that ram that was in the thicket. No, it's not. That ram in the thicket was never a sacrifice. It was nothing more than a picture of the true sacrifice, and the true sacrifice, again, is Jesus Christ the Lord. Was His sacrifice sufficient? Absolutely. Darn tootin'. And I won't tell you what a truck driver would say about those things.
I know.
You know, don't you? That's right, you're a truck driver, you know. Was the sacrifice Christ made sufficient? Well, let me look at a couple more verses. We got a couple more minutes. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. We've seen several verses now where it tells us that after the sacrifice, the Lord was raised up to sit on his throne, to sit at the throne of the majesty on high. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's see what the Lord's Word says. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed." Now, what does that word redeemed mean? That means that something had separated somebody from something. And the only way to bring those two back together again was for redemption, propitiation, a payment to be made to redeem the two parties that had been separated. "For you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, your vain way of life, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ." What were we redeemed with? We were redeemed with the sacrifice, the sufficient sacrifice, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Verse 20, "Who verily was foreordained, who was chosen, foreordained, proclaimed before the world, before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times." For who? For you. "Who by him do believe in God." Who by him. Who then can be saved was our subject last week. With men, it is impossible. Who then can believe? With men, it is impossible. Who by him? That means by him do we believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. If you had heard about a Lord Jesus who had not been raised from the dead, if you had heard about a Lord Jesus who had gone to the cross and died, that was it was over, would you believe? Would you be able to believe that your sins were paid for? But knowing that God accepted the sacrifice of His Son, we have a great assurance. A great assurance, a great hope. A hope in Him and in Him alone. Look at one more. Let's look at another one. We got time. Yeah, look at another. Turn over to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Let's look over there for just a moment. Begin with me, if you would, at verse 17, as it is written, Romans chapter 4, verse 17, "I have made thee a father of many nations." Here we go, we're talking about Abraham again. "Before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, who makes alive the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in the hope that he might become the father of many nations." See, this is that hope, that promise that God had made to him. This is the reason he had such strong faith to go to the mountain and sacrifice his son, because he knew that God had promised a people through his seed who become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so thy seed shall be, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old. This is speaking about his son before his son was born, Isaac. "Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was also able to perform, that therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness." Now it was not written for his sake alone, but that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for what? Our justification. Why was He raised up out of the grave? Not just to prove that our sins were put away, but to show that we are justified in Him. You know what justified means? Just as if I never sinned. All my payments are paid. Justified. Go on. Let's go on. Next page. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Was his sacrifice sufficient? If it's not, then we wouldn't have peace, would we? But because it is sufficient, because it was sufficient to cover all of our sins, we have peace with God. Go on. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand, rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Who are the justified? The ungodly that Christ died for. Who are the justified? The ungodly that Christ died for. Verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God, who commendeth His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. He sits on His throne right now. One more. What, we got time? Yeah, we got time. Look, one more. Turn to the right. Go over to Philippians. Philippians. Right between Colossians and Ephesians. Philippians. We'll just read a couple verses over here in chapter 2. Beginning at verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in your sacrifice. Your sufficient sacrifice. The very one who laid down His life for you. Let your mind be as His. Who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, verse 9, God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things of the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. The sacrifice the offering of God gave was so effectual that it cleansed all that the Father had given the Son before a star ever twinkled in the sky. It says over in Hebrews 10, you don't need to turn there, for by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Them who had been set apart from the world, them who He had loved with an everlasting love. whom the Father hath given unto him to save. God was manifest in the flesh to lay down his life for his people. He shall be called Jesus, is the word of God. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people. Not might, not maybe, but shall. The offering of his only begotten Son satisfied the justice of God. The blood that was shed was the blood of holy God. He knew no sin. He sacrificed himself, and because that sacrifice was with holy blood, God accepted it and raised his Son from the grave. Acts chapter 2, you don't need to turn now, I'll read it for you real quick. Like him, speaking of Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, who God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden up. Today, this very moment, mankind are trying to provide their own type of sacrifice, and it gets them absolutely nowhere. Their sacrifices are an abomination. Their sacrifices are insufficient. Listen to these words from Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, saith the Lord. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Do you understand that? Not everyone. Folks, there are many today who are saying, Lord, Lord. You go over to that church across the street over there, they're saying, Lord, Lord. But it's not the Lord of this book. It's a Lord that they have desired from their own imagination. One that they can make whatever they want. Only God can bring a man or a woman to the point of bowing down and saying, you're God of everything. I can't make you anything. You are what you say you are in this book. Many will say, Lord, Lord, many will say unto him, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of the Father, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I have never known you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Do you know that that's what he said to the other guy on the cross? Remember, there were two men on the cross, weren't there? Only one did he say, today you will be with me in paradise. Why do you got to point that out, John? That's so mean to talk about that other guy who's not going to heaven. You're so mean to do that. Why? Because that's grace. I deserve what that other guy got. And so do you. But by his grace, some will hear these words. Enter in, ye faithful servants. And it's not something we've done faithful. It's what our Savior has done. Our sufficient sacrifice. That's who. Let's close with Revelation chapter 5. Speaking of this sacrifice, this one who shed his own blood out of grace for us. Verse 11, we read these. Actually, you know what? let's go back to 2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and no to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David." These are ones that were spoken of in the Old Testament, speaking of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. "The Lion of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed upon the book, to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. He hath prevailed. His sacrifice was sufficient. And I beheld," verse 6, "and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders, stood a Lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the four elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song." That's a message all by itself right there. "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast" what? "Redeemed." "Redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and nation. And I beheld," verse 11, "and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne of the beast, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing.' And every creature in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and such are is in the sea, and all that therein, heard I saying, 'Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, the Lamb forever.'" Worthy is the Lamb of God. What do I believe? I believe he ever liveth to make intercession for me. What about you? Do you serve a risen Christ who makes intercession for you? I believe that he lives now, right now.